fact, we're going to talk about something that's been on a lot of people's minds, about where are we at in the world. And so needless to say, we are in the middle of a crisis. However, this is more than just a virus. I want you to realize that this is more than just a virus. In fact, the impact that this virus is having is touching all parts of our world and all aspects of our world. Economics, education, our children are out of schools, the health, of course, and our health facilities and our hospitals. It's touching families, it's touching employment, it's touching politics. This is more than just a virus, this is a global, major global crisis. Before I go any further, church, I just want to thank you. I know that these are difficult times. The word unprecedented has been used a lot already. And I guess you could say in my lifetime, such a thing is unprecedented. But I want to thank you for your understanding. I want to thank you for your flexibility. I want to thank you that we have been able to be adaptive and we've been able to be able to use different methods of connecting together. I want to thank everybody who is reaching out to their family and friends in the church. And we're making what is a disconnected church feel connected the best we can right now. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your flexibility. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And as our little motto has been, we've got to be careful, prayerful, and we've got to be faithful. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank our innovative leaders, our leaders of our home friendship groups and our departments that have been so innovative in adapting to the change and making sure we can get online and continue our ministry. I want to remind somebody today that Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still in control. I want to tell you that he's large and he's in charge, and nothing is impossible with God. However, I do believe God is wanting to get our attention. I do believe that God is speaking. And if God is on the throne, as I just said, and if he is in charge, as I just said, and if God is in control, like I just said, then God has a purpose with what we are facing now. And personally, I can't say that I haven't had my fears. I can't say that I haven't had my questions. In fact, I'm finding that I'm going through cycles of fear and faith, worry and panic and praise and prayer, the different emotions. And one man in the Bible said, "Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief." I can't say that I haven't washed my hands so many times in my life. I mean, I heard somebody say the other day, they said, "I washed my hands so much, I uncovered a number that I wrote on my hand 10 years ago." But God is speaking, and I've got confidence in God. The coronavirus, this epidemic that we are facing, is a wake-up call for everybody. It's time for us to ask ourselves, is my life built on the rock, which is Jesus? Or am I building my life on a fragile foundation? You could turn in your Bibles now, and if they could please put the fallback screen up there so I can see the scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. Please open up your Bibles at home and turn there so we can all be reading the word together. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 5 and 6. And it says there, "And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in." Sounds a lot like our days now, doesn't it? In fact, we're not going out much and we're not going in much. But the Bible says, "At those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries." Great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And verse 6 goes on to say, "And nation was destroyed of nation. Nations were warring against each other, and city against city. For God did vex them with all adversity." Another version says, "God sent trouble to them." Nation was fighting against nation. City was fighting against city. Why? God did vex them with all adversity. Tonight, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. I want to talk about the question that is on everyone's mind. What is God trying to say? What is God trying to say? Let us take a moment to pray. Lord, we love you. We do thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can open it, Lord, here today, Lord, and that we can reach out into our homes, in our city, and across this nation. Lord, we want to know what you're trying to say to us today. And Lord God, we want to hear your word. Help us not to just be hearers, but help us to be doers of your word also. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say amen. In your home, why don't you say amen right now? Amen. Praise God. For the Christian, living for God means that we can live without fear. Means that we can live with peace. We use the word that we can live with a peace that passes all understanding. An unexplainable peace. It's a peace that you can't understand and you can't put in words. It's unexplainable. In fact, I want to read you a few scriptures in Hebrews 13, verse 6. It says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." The Lord is my helper. I praise God for that. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, and I'm sure we've read this. We've probably written it down in the last week or so as we've been struggling with this crisis. But it says, "Do not be anxious about everything, anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Then Paul said to the church of Philippi, he said, "I have learned in whatever situation I am, coronavirus or not, whatever situation I am in, I've learned to be content." Praise God. And so, a couple of weeks ago, I think in January, as we were opening up the year with our Wednesday night teachings, I was talking about spiritual warfare, and if you haven't heard those messages, they're on our podcast, and I encourage you to go and listen to those two messages or Bible studies that I gave on spiritual warfare. But as I was preparing tonight, one of the quotes or one of the sayings that I said when I was preaching was this, is that if we don't learn to navigate the spiritual realm, then we will never get it right down here in the physical realm. If you want to be able to get it right down here as a Christian and be able to live the life that God has called you to do and to do what God has called you to do, you've got to learn to navigate the spiritual realm. And if we can't navigate the spiritual realm, then we're not going to get it right down here. You see, I was talking to one of our brethren the other day, and they said to me, they said, "Pastor, everything visible and physical is preceded by that which is invisible and spiritual. Everything that is visible and physical is preceded by that which is invisible and that which is spiritual." The Word of God tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Everything visible and physical is preceded by that which is invisible and spiritual. And so, this is how the world works. This is how the physical realm works. You see, the physical things that we see are preceded by the spiritual. And if you want to address what is happening in the physical and the visible, if you want to address what's happening in the physical and the visible, you must go to the realm of the invisible and the spiritual. And so if all you see is what you see, then you don't see what there is to be seen. If all you can see is what you see with your physical eyes, then you're not seeing all there is to see, because I'm here to tell you today that there is an invisible and there is a spiritual realm to this world. And everything that happens in the physical and the visible is preceded by that which is in the invisible and the spiritual. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And so right here on earth right now in the year 2020, in the month of March, we are seeing something happen in our world. And what is happening in our world, as I've just said, if you understand what I've been saying, what is happening in our world is being preceded by something that is happening in the spiritual realm, in the unseen realm. What is happening in our world today is being preceded by something which is happening in the unseen. And so we need to go beyond what we can see with our eyes and understand what is happening in the spiritual. Yes, everybody is afraid. Yes, there's chaos. Yes, there is no peace. But our text today, let me go back to our text. 2 Chronicles 15 sounds a lot like the times we're living in now. It says, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. This verse that I'm reading from 2 Chronicles 15 tells us about a world in chaos, a world in crisis, no peace, great vexations, annoyed, frustrated, worried. I looked up that word, vexations, frustrated or worried. Nations fighting other nations, international problems, cities fighting cities. The Bible says that God did vex them with all adversity. Right now, as we've seen, everybody's restless. Everybody's nervous. Everybody's insecure. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles that God was troubling. The New Living Translation says God was troubling them with problems. You know, that's what got my attention. God was troubling them with problems. That God takes the blame right here. He says, I am behind what you're seeing in the physical, behind the lack of peace and the lack of and the restlessness and the chaos. God says, I am behind that, what you're seeing in the world. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to address the fact that people had departed from him, God would send judgment. You read in the Bible of fire and brimstone. But in the New Testament, with the death of Jesus Christ, we no longer see the judgment of God in the form of fire and brimstone. The Bible says that because of Jesus' death, that the relationship between God and the world changed completely. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The world was reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. And so today, as the New Testament church, God no longer sends fire and brimstone. However, you must not be mistaken. While we don't experience fire and brimstone, we can still experience the passive wrath of God. You say, what do you mean by passive, Pastor? What is the passive wrath of God? Romans chapter 1 tells us a little bit about this passive wrath of God, because Romans comes from the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. And if you know your Bible, some people are already cringing. Pastor's gone to Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up. He didn't send fire and brimstone, but he gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Verse 26 says this, for this cause, it says it again, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And then again in verse 28, we see what I'm calling the passive wrath of God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. God gave them up, God gave them up. But now God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Three times in the space of a few scriptures, God gave them up. God gave them over. God turned them over. Why? Because they didn't take him seriously. He released them. He took his hand off them. He released them to see and to experience what life is without God. God gave them up because they wouldn't take him seriously, because they rejected him. God gave them up and God said, I'm going to let go. You're no longer under my covering. I'm going to let you go. And now, because you don't want anything to do with me, now you can go and experience life without me. He lets you find your own way. Okay? Find your own way, he says. You run into the consequences of the abandonment of God. You experience what life is without the covering and the blessings of God in your life. When God gives you up or God gives you over, he just says, it's like he cuts the apron strings and says, go do what you want anyway. Sometimes parents need to do that. My parents have let me do that as well. We rebel against our parents so much, we fight and fuss. Eventually they just say, okay, go ahead, do whatever you want, knowing full well that I'm going to suffer the consequences of my actions. If your children don't listen, if they don't take their parents seriously, sometimes we've got to say, okay, you're just going to have to suffer the consequences. If that's the only way you can learn, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And so, parents, sometimes you've got to let your child fail the exam. You've told them so many times to study. You've told them so many times to do their homework. And you've covered for them enough. You've shown mercy so much. And you say, okay, you know what? Do whatever you want. You can fail that exam. You can go back and repeat that grade at school. You know, when they don't want to get out of bed and you're getting them up so they go to work, to their part-time job, and you get sick of that, parents eventually say, you know what? Stay in bed as long as you want. The boss will ring you up and he'll give you the sack. If that's the only way you're going to learn, I'll turn you over. God says, don't blame me. Don't bother blaming me for your situation, because now you have complete control. You're calling the shots. And Romans 1 is describing what happens when we depart from God. Romans 1 is describing what happens when an individual, a family, a church, or a nation, or the world departs from God. And when we depart from God, it leaves a vacuum. And when we depart from that relationship with God, it leaves a vacuum for something else to come right on in. When God isn't filling the vacuum, I'm sorry to say, but some very unpleasant things will come in and fill it. Now, God is still there, yes. God is always there. But now there's a relational absenteeism, because we have separated ourselves. We don't want to be in relationship with God. We don't want to know God's word. We don't want him to tell us how to live our life. We are relationally absent now. We're not in relationship with him. And God says, you don't want me. You don't want life with me. You've created a vacuum. Now you're open for whatever comes. I've said all of that to say this. The coronavirus and the worldwide chaos is filling the vacuum that is left by a generation that doesn't want to know God, that doesn't want to have anything to do with God. You want life without me, God says. But when you want life without me, you've created a hole. You've created a vacuum. Now there are things going to come into that vacuum that you don't want, because you've stepped out of the order of God. You've stepped out from underneath the blessing of God. Nations, this world, churches, people have stepped out from under the blessing of God. It's created a vacuum, and God has said, okay, I'm just going to give you over. You can experience what life without my blessing and my covering is like. And so God is getting our attention. God is disrupting us. What a disruption. Things aren't normal now. No, not at all. On every level, there is no normality to the way we're living now. Individuals have no peace. Homes have no peace. Cities have no peace. Nations have no peace. The world is in chaos. And I believe God, and listen to me tonight, if you're part of our church family here, listen to me tonight, because I got a word. God is sending the world a message. What is God trying to say? Well, in the time that we read in 2 Chronicles 15, it sounds a lot like the world we live in now. There were three causes for the chaos and the lack of peace that they experienced in 2 Chronicles 15. And if we read the portion of scripture that we've just read as our opening text, you'll see the reason. And they're all just in one verse. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3, it says, for a long season. For a long season. I want you to notice first that it was a long season. God is long-suffering. For a long season. It wasn't like they made a mistake, just a one-off, or slipped, or were distracted and fell. No, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. For for a long season, they had departed from God. And for a long season, they had been without a teaching priest. And for a long season, they had been without the law. I want you to notice why there was chaos. I want you to know that why there was no peace. I want you to know why city was against city and nation against nation. And while there was adversity and vexations, I want you to know it was because they had departed from God. They had been without the true God. They had been without a teaching priest. They had been without the law. There was, the first point, there was no true God. There was no true God. There was, though, many false gods. The fact that there was no true God, it tells us that they had false gods. And that speaks of what we're seeing in our world today. They had replaced the true God with idols. They had set up idols and they were beginning to serve these gods and these idols. And in the Bible, one of the greatest sins was to have an idol. You say, Pastor, what's 2 Chronicles 15 got to do with today? Let me tell you, now more than ever, we are seeing idolatry taking over the world. Many are serving idols these days. Not bowing down in front of graven images or golden calves. No, we're much more sophisticated than that now. But now we worship our money. Now we worship our relationships. Now we worship our education. Now we worship sport. We've created idols that we are worshiping, and they're taking our time away from God. We're serving false gods. We're finding our security. We're finding our source in things that are going to pass away. I'm not saying that people don't know God. No, people do know God. I'm not saying that people don't go to church. No, people are still going to church. But what I'm saying is, for many, their relationship with God is not there. Their priorities are all around the wrong way. God is absent in their life, not because God wanted to be absent in their life, but because they didn't want God in their life. Many people say, God, I want you to bless me. I want your favor. But I don't want you to tell me what to do, please. God, I want your protection, but please don't tell me what to do. And the reason why there was no peace, the reason why there was vexations, is because there was no true God. They were serving false gods. Idolatry can be a person, it can be a place, it can be a thing, or it could be our source. Something that we look to as our source independently from God. One of the reasons they were in trouble, and I believe it's the reason why we're in trouble today, is that we have turned to false gods. We have idols. In fact, probably one of the greatest idols that people have today is themselves. The Bible says, in the last days, people shall be lovers of themselves. Before that, it says, perilous times will come, for people shall be lovers of themselves. There was no true God. The second point is, there was no teaching priest. They were without a teaching priest. The people, because they didn't have a teaching priest, the people had no knowledge of the Word of God. They had departed from the church. They had departed. They were no longer listening to the instruction of the man of God. They were no longer reading their Word. They were no longer doing Bible studies. There was no teaching priest. This is where I must accept responsibility as your pastor right now, that there is a responsibility on this pulpit. Every time I come to this holy desk, I must come to this holy desk with a reverence fear of God, that I would speak not the oracles of man, but I would speak what thus saith the Lord. There is a responsibility on me as a teaching priest and as a pastor. I want to preach not what anybody wants to hear, but more than anything, I want to preach what thus saith the Lord. There's a mist in the pulpit. I believe one of the great preachers, maybe Jonathan Edwards, said it. He said, if there's a mist in the pulpit, there'll be a fog in the pew. He said, when the pulpit fails, the pews become confused. When there's confusion in the pews, there's confusion in the home. When there's confusion in the pews, people fall away from God. When there's confusion in the pews, the direction of our culture changes and starts going in the wrong way. Why the trouble? Why the vexations? Because there was no teaching priest. I want to know what God loves. I want to know what God hates. I want to know what is righteous. I want to know what is unrighteous. Even if it offends us, we must receive the word of God. You know, a feel-good message, and I thank God for feel-good messages. I've left church on cloud nine many times and uplifted, but a feel-good message won't save your soul. We need a man of God in our life who will preach the word. What's God's word say? God's word tells us how to live our personal life. If you want to serve God, you got to allow Him to reorder your life. If you want to be in the kingdom, you got to be under the King's domain. God's word tells us about sexuality. God's word tells us about gender. God created them male and female. The Bible says marriage is between a male and a female. God's word defines what it means to be a man. God's word defines what it means to be a woman. God's word tells us about the relationship between parents and children. I want to commend to you the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God must be our standard. They're in trouble because they were serving false gods and there was no teaching priest. And the third one, as I come to a close, there was no law. There was no law. You hear it all the time. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. There's no such thing. Truth is truth. Truth is absolute. It's not relative. Truth is truth. Oh, that may be true for you, or this is how I feel about it. No, truth is truth. There is no truth. Let me say this. There is no truth that disagrees with God. Anything that goes against God is not truth. Because then, if you're coming up with a truth that disagrees with God, then you're making God a liar. There was no law. And when they turned their eyes, they turned their life away from the Word of God, when there was no law to tell them how to live, what did they get? They got chaos. What did they get? They got confusion. What did they get? They no longer had peace. Right now, I want to tell you, the Bible's been thrown out of almost everywhere it can be thrown out of. There is no law. And what have we got? We've got chaos. I'm not saying God is sending this stuff. I'm not saying that God sent the coronavirus, but because of the vacuum that we've created in separating ourselves from a relationship with God, because we've told God that we're not interested in a relationship with Him, there's been a vacuum and God has allowed things to come in to that void. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. They were serving false gods. There was no teaching priest. And there was no law. So, Pastor, you meant to preach the gospel. Yes. I got a saying, if it's not good news, it's not the gospel. So what can we do, church? What can we do, city? What can we do, nation? Individual, what can we do in these times of chaos and without peace? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because our text tells us exactly what we can do. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 4. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and when they sought him, he was found of them. What a gracious God we serve, church. They had rejected him. They had served false idols. They had gone and thrown out the law of God. They didn't want anything to do with God. God was so gracious that when in their trouble, when they turned to God again, he was found of them. I want to tell you today, it's not too late to turn to God right now. It's not too late to get your life right with God. Right in the middle of trouble, they turned to God. God allowed the trouble. God allowed the distress. But in the middle of all of it, in the middle of that vacuum where that trouble was, God was found of them. Church, brothers and sisters, sometimes God will allow chaotic things into our life to get our undivided attention. God didn't send this virus, but I believe with my whole heart that God has allowed it to get our undivided attention. We do things like that to our children. We say, you know what? I'm going to take away your privileges. I'm going to take away your comforts because I want to get your attention. God is saying, I want you to return to me. I want your life. I want your family. I want the church to turn to me. I want nations to turn to me. God says, I'll do whatever it takes to get your attention. What is God trying to say? He's saying, I want your attention. Why don't you come back and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all these things shall be added unto you. The beautiful scripture, the beautiful words that says, when they sought God, he was found of them. One version says, when they sought God, God let them find him. Brothers and sisters, guests that may be viewing online tonight, it's time to get your relationship right with God. It's time to seek him again. The Bible says, seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your hearts. You see, God allows distress. Why? Because he wants us to get closer to him. If we don't have distress, like right now, we don't have distress, we've got everything under our own control. We don't need God. It's all good. But right now, man doesn't have this situation under control. It's time for us to turn to God. It's time to turn our eyes to the only one, the master of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds all things together, and by him doth all things consist. It's time to turn to the Alpha and Omega. It's time to turn to God. For if my people, where does the responsibility sit? We're turning to God. It starts with the church. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you're listening to me tonight and you're out of relationship with God, if you haven't had any room for God in your life, if there's been no teaching priest, maybe you've allowed yourself to have idols creeping into your life and your priorities are all over the place and you've neglected the law of God and you find yourself without peace and in chaos, I want to tell you, it's time to turn to God. Do whatever it takes. If right now you're watching this video right now and you need to kneel down at your seat, it's time to repent of your sins and say, God, I want to return back into relationship with you. God, I want you to fill that hole. I want you to fill that void. God, I've been so destructive with my life and I've forsaken you. I wanted your blessings, but now I've drifted. So what is God saying? What is God trying to say? God's saying, turn to me. And he says, if you seek me, you will find me. I want you to notice, I'm not saying that God sent any virus. I'm not saying God sent the coronavirus. But because we have left God and left the vacuum, God has given us up, given the world up, given our nation up, given our city up. He's taken his hand off. Because of our rebellion, we have stepped from underneath the umbrella of God. So what is God trying to say? The answer is, it's time to let me in. Will somebody turn their life back to God? Will somebody let him in tonight? If you're listening to this sermon tonight, I know God is speaking to somebody out there right now. If God is speaking to you, it's time to respond. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Let's just lift our hands in our homes right now. If you're by yourself in your prayer closet, wherever you're watching right now, in your car, if you're watching in your hotel room, if you're traveling, if you're in another nation, why don't you lift your hands? For those friends of mine that are watching in Mizoram, it's time to let God in. It's time to do away with our religiosity and our processes and our religion and say, God, more than religion, I want relationship with you, God. I want to make room for you, God. Let there be a revival in the city of Canberra. Let there be a revival in the city of Cootamundra. Let there be a revival in Goulburn, Brother Alfonso. Let there be a revival in Bega, Brother Daniel. Let there be a revival in Junee, Sister Armin and Brother Juven. Let there be a revival, Sister Jelly, in Tamora. I'm praying that God would do a mighty work if we would just let him in. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, your word has spoken to us. We find ourselves in a time of chaos and without peace. And Lord, we turn to you. If my people, which are called by my name, Lord, we're called by your name. We are privileged to be called by your name. But Lord, we must humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. Lord, let us as a church lead the way in this nation, in this city. Lord, let none of us be entertaining idols, oh God, that you would be in the first place in our life. Let there be none of us, oh God, who would have turned away from what the Bible says and have no teaching priest. Lord, to turn away from your laws, Lord God. Let it not be said in the church, but let your people, oh God, humble themselves and pray and repent. Lord, for those that are watching tonight that don't know you, Lord, I pray in this time and this hour, Lord, you've got our attention right now. And Lord, you've got our ears. The question we've been asking, the elephant in the room is, God, what are you trying to say? Lord, let me hear your voice right now. Speak to somebody right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just dwell in the presence of God just a moment. Let's receive. God is speaking to us. And ask Brother Akbar to close his service out with a song. But as we close his service out right now, let us just lift our hands. Let us worship God. Let's get right with God. What is God saying? He's saying, come on, let me in.